Hi. In the midst of all the concern and tension surrounding social distancing, shelter in place, and COVID-19, it seems like maybe we all just need a fun story. And it just so happens I like to tell stories. So here is a story for you. By the way, I'm Del Clark, a member of the Cascade Covenant leadership team. I'm also a guy who likes to tell stories. But I'm not one of the pastors, or seminary trained, or a Bible scholar. So if you're looking for a sermon, you'll need to tune in to one of Dan's or Lindsay's or Tim's or Angela's podcasts. But if you're interested in just an entertaining story with maybe a little twist, well, sit back, lend me your imagination, and let me tell you a story. "Grandpa, tell me the story again," said the little boy. Like most little boys, he seldom sat still. To his mother, he always seemed to be in motion, running or climbing trees or playing with the other boys. But when his grandpa came to visit, he would sit still and listen to his grandpa's stories. And to one story in particular, which was his favorite. "Story? You want a story? What story? You mean the one about the goat and the rabbi? Or the one about the brown puppy who ran through the market? Or the one about the donkey that traveled to Jerusalem?" "No, Grandpa. Not those. You know which one? The big story. The real one. The one that really happened." "Oh. You mean my story? But you've heard that one so many times. Do you really want to hear it again?" "Yes, Grandpa, it's the best story. Tell me the best story." And with that, the little boy plopped down on the floor, put his elbows on his knees, rested his chin on his hands, and waited. The old man smiled, and he seemed to stare in the distance for a few minutes, as if he was looking back over the years to a time when he was a young boy. "It was a long time ago. I was only a few years older than you are now. But I remember the day as clearly as if it happened yesterday. My mother had baked fresh loaves of barley bread and cooked some fish. She packed 5 loaves and 2 fish in a basket. 'Eli,' she said to me, 'you need to go down by the sea to find your uncle Andrew and take him this food. Follow the path through Capernaum to the sea. Your uncle Andrew will be there someplace with the rabbi.'" I was really excited. To go from our village to Capernaum and on to the sea and then return home would take most of the day. To a 9-year-old boy, it would be a huge adventure. And that day, it was cool and a little cloudy. A perfect day for an adventure. So I grabbed my goat stick in one hand and the basket in the other, and I set off. The path to Capernaum was pretty much empty. I saw a few other boys herding goats just off the path, but I didn't see anyone else. Even in Capernaum, it seemed really quiet. There were a few women at the well and a few old men by the village gate, but it was not the normal hustle and bustle of a large village. Now, the path from Capernaum down to the sea was a different thing entirely. The path was empty leaving Capernaum, but it quickly began to fill with people. Mostly men the age of my father, but many boys only a little older than me, and even whole families. Before I crested the hill just before the bay where the fishermen launched their boats, the path was completely clogged with people. And as we came to the top of the rise and looked down to the bay, I saw a sight that made my feet stop. to my 9-year-old eyes, it seemed like all the people in the world were on that hillside sloping down to the sea. There were thousands of people, more people than I have ever seen before or since. Even the time I went to Passover in Jerusalem, I have never seen so many people. I was awestruck by how many people were gathered on that hillside, and more than a little intimidated. Then my feet began to move, and I went down into the crowd, wondering how would I ever find my Uncle Andrew in all these people? It was impossible. Around me, I heard people talking of the rabbi. It seemed this was a special rabbi, not like the old man in our village who was always buried in his scrolls. One man said this rabbi had healed his cousin of leprosy. Another told of someone named Lazarus who was raised from the dead. And still others whispered this rabbi might actually be the Messiah. Now, as a 9-year-old boy, I didn't really know who or what the Messiah was supposed to be. But I did know he was like one of the old prophets, only better and more like a king. Some of the people began pointing out to sea. There in the distance, I could just barely see a fishing boat coming back to shore. Everyone seemed to stop and watch the boat. And as it got closer, I heard men saying, "It's him! It's the rabbi!" So I watched the boat too. And as I watched, I was surprised to see my Uncle Andrew was in the boat with the rabbi. I'd found my Uncle Andrew, even in this immense crowd, the thousands of people. I'd found my Uncle Andrew. The boat landed. The rabbi got out, and he began to do what all rabbis do. He started teaching from the old scrolls. I was just a boy, and the old scrolls had no interest for me. Yet, the thousands on the hillside had gone completely silent, and they seemed to hang on every word he spoke. Still, my mother had told me to bring the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish to my Uncle Andrew. So I quietly worked my way through the crowd to where my Uncle Andrew was sitting. And when he saw me, he smiled that big Uncle Andrew smile and motioned for me to sit next to him. I sat down on the ground next to him and showed him the basket, but he just smiled and touched a finger to his lips and whispered, "Shh, just listen." The rabbi only spoke a few more minutes, and I don't remember what he said. But then there was a little argument between the rabbi and his friends, and I do remember what he said next. "You feed them." He looked at his friends, and then he motioned to the thousands on the hillside, and he said, "You feed them." What was he saying? What did he mean? How could anyone feed this crowd of thousands upon thousands? Yet, my Uncle Andrew looked at me, and he got the biggest Uncle Andrew smile I have ever seen. And he whispered in my ear, "Take the basket to Yeshua." The rabbi's name was Yeshua. So in front of all those people, I walked up to the rabbi with my basket. He turned, saw me, and he knelt down and looked straight into my eyes. And then he said, "Eli, you arrived just in time. Eli? How did he know my name? But then he smiled at me, put his hand on my shoulder, and stood up. It is time for us all to eat, he said. And he reached into my basket and took two loaves and a fish, held them up to the sky, and said, Father, thank you for this food. Then he handed them to one of his friends and said, Share this. Then he reached into my basket again and took out the other three loaves and the other fish, and again he held them up to the sky and said, Father, thank you for this food, and handed it to another of his friends. And then it happened. And this is the truth. It's not a story made up by a young boy or by an old man who is your grandfather. This is what really happened. This is what truly happened. The rabbi turned and smiled at me. And with that smile, he winked at me. The rabbi winked at me. Then he reached into my empty basket and took out three more loaves and another fish. My basket was empty. But 12 times he reached into my basket and pulled out barley loaves and broiled fish until he had given all 12 of his friends food to share. And this is true too. His friends shared the food with the crowd, and although thousands of people ate until they were full. So many people, they covered the hillside, and yet all ate until they were full. His friends collected all the leftover bread and fish and filled 12 baskets. And your grandpa is an old man now. And now I know what you and all of our family and many, many, many people know. That rabbi, Yeshua, who took the bread and fish from my basket, is the Messiah. He died on a Roman cross, but 3 days later rose from the dead, and now sits at the right hand of God in heaven. And I sit in awe and fear of our holy God who reigns in heaven and over all creation. Yet your grandpa also remembers the day that God used the 5 loaves and the 2 fish in my basket to do a miracle. The day that God Himself smiled at me and winked. And that is the end of my story. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed hearing it as much as I enjoyed telling it. Remember, it's not Holy Scripture, it's just a story. Yet, maybe each of us also has a chance to offer whatever is in our basket for God to work a miracle. And maybe, just maybe, He'll wink at you.